verses 9 through 16. And here Peter is given a new vision where God shows him that all things are clean in the eyes of God. It allows the early church to open its doors even to those who in the past were kept out. Let us read. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven open and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to the heaven. Here ends the first scripture reading.
It's been a pretty busy week this past week here at First Presbyterian Church, and so much of what we've been doing this past week is being involved in activities that I think help us to look into the future. We have been working hard looking for a new preschool teacher since our preschool is expanding, adding another class. We've been working hard looking for a new part-time director of youth and young adults since Brett is on his way to Princeton. We are starting Clubhouse back up and all the planning and preparation that it takes to do that. It reminds me that we're pretty good at looking ahead. We're pretty good at making sure that our eyes are focused on what's coming up. We've spent so much time over the, not just this last day or week, but over the last months getting ready for Vacation Bible School. What's that saying? That children are our what? You've heard that, right? Children are our future. I don't believe that. Sorry, I made you say it and then I'm saying no. I don't actually believe that children are our future. I think children are our present. I think our children are the ones that we have to focus on right now and be able to reach out to them in a very meaningful way. Our church has been good at doing that over its history. We founded in 1832, and 184 years ago, things were different then, weren't they? When Darwin came up with his Origin of the Species, we were already 27 years old. So we're even older than evolution. See? The church made its way through the Civil War and survived. Congregation was 53. We were 53 as a church when Benz created the first car. So often we think that it is so easy and so important just to go forward and push forward all of our thoughts, all of our preparations, all of our planning needs to be in order to see what's coming up in the future. But what we're going to find today in the scripture is while that may be true, if you lose sight of what happened in the past, if you lose sight of those who have contributed, if you forget about what has happened and what has brought you to where you are today, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble. Joseph, in our scripture over these last few weeks, we see that he's a dreamer, and today we find him interpreting the dreams of two of his cellmates. You're going to have to hang in there as we read chapter 40, because we're reading the whole chapter 40. Yeah, y'all, I got your attention on that one, right? You didn't bring your pillow, did you? But we find in this account of Joseph that he does have his sights set on the future. And he provides a correct interpretation of what the future is going to hold. But nevertheless, he ends up being forgotten. He ends up being kind of a relic of the past. And what we're going to see today is as we set our eyes on the future and as we plan and prepare, we can never ever forget those who brought us to where we are now, especially the one who brought us to where we are now, who is Jesus our Savior. And let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 40. And we're going to see how Joseph, this dreamer, with his eyes on the future, is able to not forget his past and, in fact, use his past to his advantage. Chapter 40 of Genesis. So remember, Joseph is in prison, okay? He was just put in prison. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers and the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them as custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison right where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he waited on them, and they continued for some time in custody. And one night, both of these men dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, and each had his own dream, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Well, tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told the dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. And as soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and the clusters ripened in the grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For in fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." Well, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was a good one, was favorable, he said to Joseph, I had a dream too. And there were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the baskets on my head. Joseph answered, "This is its interpretation. The three baskets are also 3 days, and within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a pole, and the birds will eat the flesh from you." On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. The chief baker he hanged, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. The chief cupbearer, he did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For some of you who are not following social media, or you may feel a little bit out of touch with what is happening in our society and culture today, you may want to hear at least these next few words, and hopefully you'll be able to catch a little bit of a glimpse into what's happening in social media or society around us. Now, first of all, before we launch into that, what has happened in Dallas, and we talked about that last week, what has happened since then in Nice, and what is happening even now in Turkey, all of it is something that this nation, that even this world beyond that, unfortunately, we have seen before. And we are in so many ways repeating a past because of lessons that were not learned or because of sins of some that ultimately tragically affect the lives of many. I know I've talked with many of you about what is happening in the world around us, and so many say to me, things are getting so much worse than they've ever been. We've never seen anything like this in the history of our world. I don't think that's accurate. I think even before Christ came on the earth the first time, things were pretty bad. If you read through my blog, we recount and we talk about the persecution that Christians face. We talk about how society was a disaster, was a mess. And until Jesus comes back, and I don't mean to put a downer or a wet blanket on all of us, but until Jesus comes back, nothing fundamentally is really going to change, right? But we have a task. We have responsibilities. As a church, we are called to be a light in a very, very dark world. That's our responsibility. We are the ones called to bring the gospel to those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. On the other hand, we should not think that our future, well, there's no hope. There's always hope. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us hope. That's why Jesus came in the first century and remains with us today. So what is going on today? What's different about today? I think you behind me, you might see something that's a little different from today. Any of you have any idea what this is? Most of you have no idea. I didn't either until last week or 2 weeks ago. This is Pokemon Go, okay? You've heard of it, right? Tell me you've heard of it at least. Come on, tell me at least that much. And it sounds like a silly game, and it has no consequential determination for any of us. It doesn't belong in church. Let me ask you a question. When you grew up, how many stations on the TV channel did you, how many stations did you have on TV? Huh? Was that it? Did you say? The big three, right? How about today, how many stations do we have? Right? To say nothing of the consumer choices that we have, which is just bewildering, which is overwhelming. When you go to a store, you don't have one choice of cereal, but you have seven different choices in one make of Captain Crunch, right? You have seven different Captain Crunches. So looking forward, what's that going to look like? Is it just more choices? Is it just more opportunities to get ahead in life, to be able to live better? Is that what our goal is? Every single day as we look into our future, as we look forward to what our life is going to hold, is that all that we're really interested in? Let me show you what happens when, as a church, we say that we are welcoming to people who play Pokemon Go. Something simple. This is what happens. So this was, I don't know any of those kids, okay? I don't know any of them. You know where they're sitting. They're sitting right out there. And they're coming. By the way, this is not something that Outreach said, here's a great evangelistic opportunity. As I mentioned in the e-news, our church is a gym. We did not make our church a gym, just so you're aware of that. Pokemon Go made our church a gym. And when you're a gym, then it's a very attractive place for people to come who play that game. In fact, in case you think it's a threat, this is what one of the young adults left us. Oh, there it is. And you probably can't read that, so let me read that for you. I'm going to have to climb up on one of the fish. It says, hey, and that's a bag of potato chips with a note on top of it. This is what we found in the hallway. Hey, my dudes. Thanks for inviting us in and playing with us. You all rock. Keep the chips. From Sydney, Amelia, Scotty, and Sean. I have no idea who those kids are. No idea. I get to work here at 7:30, sometimes 8 in the morning, and there's three or four cars in our parking lot of 20-somethings on their way to work playing this game. I didn't invite them to come. They're just coming. They're just coming. So looking into the future, we can make a decision to not want to have anything to do with it, to sneer at it, to call it a passing fad, and it is. This too will pass away, Or we can seize the opportunity that's presented before us and look into the future that maybe, just maybe, one of these kids, one of these young adults, when life gets tough, when things are rough in their lives, when they need someone to talk with them or walk alongside of them, they just might say, you know what? I remember there was a church that didn't laugh at me. There was a church that actually embraced me. I don't know anything about that church, but I need their help now. That just might happen sometime in their future. I think we were ahead of the curve on this one. We may have been one of the first churches who embraced this. Restaurants have been doing it for weeks because they get more customers, right? Huh, they get more customers. Let's look at Scripture and see how it relates. It does relate, trust me. There's no Pokemon in Joseph's story, but there is something that deals with what does the future look like? What did the future look like for Joseph? Not real good, did it? And you notice how the history for Joseph is repeating itself. We hear Joseph being thrown into the pit by his brothers because they were jealous. Then he's bought by the captain of Pharaoh's guard and seduced by Mrs. Robinson, right? And then he's thrown into prison. Scripture here in the Hebrew, the word is dungeon. That word dungeon is the same exact word that's used to describe the pit where Joseph is thrown by his brothers. Do you notice what's happening? What did I say at the very beginning of this sermon? The more things change, the more they stay the same, right? For Joseph, history is repeating itself. For Joseph, things are not getting any better. I hope I didn't shock you last Sunday when I said, you know, when you give your life over to Jesus, it is not a guarantee that your life is going to be better, right? Yeah, there's the same silence last week as there was just now when I said that. Then why did I sign up for this? We answered that question. Well, this week we see in Joseph's life the same thing is happening. As much as he's looking into his future, as much as he's hoping that God is going to be there by his side, it seems like things just keep getting worse. So the stage is set. As Joseph is put in charge of all the prisoners and everything he touches turns to gold, he still has that Midas touch. And these two new prisoners now come in and they are really high level prisoners. I love that detail in this scripture again that reminds us he's not just in any prison. He's in the master's. If you read back over that scripture, yeah, read over all chapter 40 again. It says he was in the master's house. Chief guard's house, okay? That's where the prison was located. So these two prisoners who were very high up in society were thrown in that same prison. They each have a dream. They each have a dream. And they come to Joseph, or Joseph hears them that they're agitated and they want someone to interpret their dream. And I love this phrase. And Joseph says, you know what? Only God can interpret dreams. But why don't you go ahead and tell me the dream and I'll explain it to you, right? He still has that same humility that he had when he was a kid. And sure enough, he interprets the first dream and it's a great interpretation. And in 3 days, you're going to be restored and you're going to have your position of power. And the baker hears that interpretation. I can't wait to hear what he's going to tell me. And it's not so good. Do you remember what did the chief cupbearer, after Joseph interpreted his dream, what did Joseph say to that chief cupbearer? Remember me. You can almost hear him beseeching him, remember me. And of course, he doesn't. And Joseph makes that request that's poignant and touching. Eric and I were in fourth grade together. Fourth grade's a tough grade. And then middle school gets harder, right? And one day you're in the in crowd, the other day you're in the out crowd. Eric always seemed to be in the out crowd, especially when it came to the playground, playing kickball. What's the time you dread the most if you're in the out crowd when it comes to kickball? When they choose teams, right? So Eric was always the last one. And if it was odd numbered, he wouldn't be put on a team at all. And sometimes that memory of Eric, I can still kind of see his face. It haunts me. As I see people throughout their lives crying out, "Remember me." Remember when Jesus was on the cross and the two thieves were crucified, and what did the one thief say? "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." His last words, and Jesus says, "Surely on this day you will be with me in paradise." There's nothing quite as sad as being forgotten. When we were in Florida, we started a little church called Damascus. I love that name. And I would have worship in the morning at First Pres in Palatka, and then at 5 o'clock, we would have our Damascus church. It was exciting. It was fun. And Rachel, she was younger. She turned 20. Can you believe that? She's not a teenager anymore. But she used to love to come to that service. It was lively, and it was fun, and there's just like 20, 25, 30 people there. It was a lot of fun. But at the very beginning of when we started that church service, there were a couple Sundays where I had to rush to the hospital and visit some people after the first service, and then had to rush to make that service at 5 o'clock, and I forgot her a couple times. Literally, I forgot her at home. She wasn't like in the street. She was at home. And then I remember once I get there, because everyone asks, "Hey, where's Rachel?" I was like, "Oh, I can't believe I forgot her." And I would get home and she'd be lying on the couch fast asleep. And I knew that she was waiting for me to get home. Nobody wants to be forgotten. Especially those who have done so much for a cause. Especially those who have done so much for a church. When they feel that maybe their efforts, their opinions, their resources, their time, everything they poured into this place and these people is forgotten. One of the greatest dangers that we can face as a church that's committed to looking toward the future. Look around you. You know we're committed to that, right? But the greatest danger that we can face as a church as we have our eyes set on the future is to do what that cupbearer of Pharaoh did. And that's to forget the people who brought you to the place where you are today. As church, we're all people who don't want to be forgotten. Husbands who spend hours away and wives who spend hours away from their children and their spouses. No one in that equation wants to feel forgotten. Those in this church with gifts and talents who haven't quite found their niche, haven't quite figured out how to get involved and active. There's probably no worse feeling in the world than being forgotten. And maybe that's the feeling that Jesus has when he was on the cross. When he yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I think maybe it also was, my God, why have you forgotten me, maybe? And today we find ourselves, I think, with two competing demands, and I wanted to talk about this, especially as we find ourselves surrounded by a very, very different scene in the sanctuary than what we're used to. And we have two competing demands, and they don't need to be competing, but oftentimes, many times in churches, they are. We find ourselves encouraged to push forward because of the growth and the excitement that we feel in this church. On the other hand, we also find ourselves in a situation where we need to remember the Josephs of our community who interpreted the early dreams of this church and put them into action long before any of us were around. This church exists today not because of any one person or even because of any group, but because of the grace of God. And we can say for a fact that this church is not the church of any one person or any group of people, but rather it belongs to Almighty God who gives us dreams to pursue and who remembers his people as we pursue them. And Joseph, I'm guessing, may have felt that not just the cupbearer forgot him, but maybe even God himself. And we can look at the history of our church and know that God has never forgotten us. And I'm hoping we can say the same thing in our lives as well. Or do we feel a little bit like Joseph in that cell, unable to look forward because everyone in our life we feel has forgotten us, gone on with their lives and kind of left us behind? Even at times we may think that God himself has forgotten us. I can assure you that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never, ever forget you. And you can use Joseph, if you need, as an example of someone who felt the same way and probably experienced a life that was far worse than any life we could ever have or that we could ever face. And you see how over time, God blesses him. He didn't give up. He was able to look forward and move forward. This is what God calls us to do in the Scripture. It's always to look forward to the future. We're always called to do that. But never, ever forget the past. May God bless us and keep us as we look to do those two things. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you today. And we ask you that as we live out our lives, help us to be fully aware of the influence and the possibilities that we have been given here in this church because of the people who have come before us. But Lord, don't ever let us remain in a place where we think that this is good enough. Challenge us. Direct our gaze outside of these walls and forward into the community and even beyond. Direct our gaze into the future while we never forget the past. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.